Somebody clap your hands for Jesus today. Oh, come on, give him a good hand clap of praise today. Amen. Hallelujah. I hate these windscreens. I'll put it back on for Janelle. Amen. It's an honor and a joy. We're thrilled to be here with you today. And we know that God, through his greatness, is going to touch you today. Not because we're here, but because he is here. Amen. I will say a few things about the table. We got Janelle's book out there. How many of you got Janelle's book the last time we were here? Well, you'll need to pick that up and take it home with you. And we've got some other things out there. I've got a brand new CD. It's called I Was There When It Happened. I'll just be real honest with you. It's good. You want to pick one of those up and take it home with you? It's got some, I'm going to be singing off of it today. His Hand in Mine, I'll be singing that. I Was There When It Happened, the title track. Who Am I? I Want to Lift Up My Head Over and Over in the Valley. A lot of good songs on this CD, and we're just happy to bring it to you. And so I'm going to give Pastor his copy right now. And so go ahead and pick yours up or go over to his house and listen to his. So, you know, whatever you choose to do. But we're so blessed to be here today. And I'm trying to get this gravel out of my throat. 9:30 is kind of early for singers. We'll get through this, and God will be honored and glorified. The praise and worship is just totally awesome. I mean, it just really is. And I was just thinking, as we were singing, as we bow and worship the King, you know, I was thinking that, you know, Jesus, he's the only King that was born a King. He was born a King. Now, Saul was a king, but he wasn't born a king. David was a king, but he wasn't born a king. Solomon was a king, but he wasn't born a king. But Jesus was born a king. As a matter of fact, it says that wise men and shepherds came to worship him as a babe because he was the king. And God revealed that to them, that the King was being born on Christmas Day. And so we honor our Lord and Savior and our King today in this season. And not only this season, but every day. Every day of my life, I honor God, I honor Jesus because of what he did for me. I thank God that he sent us a Savior and a King. Amen. And we can bow down to him. And you know what? When you bow to that King, to Jesus, it's not in vain. It's not in vain. Amen. Glory to God. I just thought that was kind of neat. Wanted to share it with you. Hey, go ahead up there, guys. Bring a track up. A little bit more.
There are some people who say they cannot tell whether we are saved or whether all is well. They say we can only hope and trust that it is so. But I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Yes, I know Jesus saved me the very moment he forgave me. He took away my heavy burden, Lord, and gave me peace within. Satan can't make me doubt it. It's real and I'm gonna shout it. I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know.
Well, if you're gonna clap, go ahead and clap.
I don't care who tells me salvation is not real. Though the world may argue that we cannot feel the heavy burden lifted and the vows sing go. And I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Yes, I know Jesus saved me the very moment He forgave me. He took away my heavy burden, Lord, and gave me peace within. Satan can't make me doubting. It's real and I'm gonna shout it. I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Yes, I know Jesus saved me the very moment He forgave me. He took away my heavy burden, Lord, and gave me peace within. Satan can't make me doubt it. It's real and I'm gonna shout it. I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know.
Amen. Amen. I remember the night that I gave my heart to Jesus. I'll never forget it. I was sitting on the front row because we couldn't sit past the third row. I figured I might as well sit on the front. You know what? When you're a sinner, it's a lot easier to take 3 steps than it is to take 33 steps. But you know what? The Word declares, the Word says that no one comes into the Father unless the Spirit draws him. And you know what? That night was my night. That the Spirit was drawing me. And I yielded to the drawing of the Spirit. No matter whether I was sitting on the front row or the back row, the Spirit drew me and I came. You know what? Here's the amazing thing. I was 14 years old. I didn't have any money. God didn't ask me how big of a bank account I had. He didn't ask me who I knew. He didn't ask me who my mom and dad were. He didn't ask me who my pastor was. He said, come as you are. Ask me to forgive you and I'll come into your heart. And I'll change your life. Guess what? He did exactly that. God is a man of His word. What He says He'll do. And He did it. I've never regretted that little short walk. Never regretted it. Have I been perfect? No, not by far. But I'm so glad for the forgiving grace of Jesus Christ. So glad for that. How many of you remember when we had vinyl that was about that big around? It was black. This next song, I heard it when I was probably about 10 or 11 years old. And a man by the name of Elvis Presley did this song. Matter of fact, the title of his gospel album was called His Hand in Mine. And he recorded this song. And boy, I'm telling you, not because he did it, but because of what the song says about putting his hand in my hand. And that night when I walked forward and gave my heart to Jesus, Jesus gave me his hand. And he's been holding my hand ever since. One long after that, I heard a man by the name of Jake Hess record this song. And what a great singer, Jake. So I decided, well, those two great men singing, I'll just go ahead and sing it too. I hope you enjoy it. It's called His Hand in Mine.
You may ask me how I know my Lord is real. You may doubt the things I say and doubt the way I feel. But I know He's real today. He'll always be. I can feel His hand in mine, and that's enough for me. I will never walk alone. He holds my hand. He will guide each step I take. And if I fall, I know He'll understand. Till the day He tells me why He loves me so. I can feel His hand in mine. That's all I need to know. I will never walk alone. He holds my hand. He will guide each step I take. And if I fall, I know He'll understand. Till the day He tells me why He loves me so. I can feel His hand in mine. That's all I need to know. I can feel His hand in mine. That's all I need to know.
Amen.
Thank you. Praise God. Praise you, Jesus. Isn't God good? Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. I'm so glad today that Jesus put His hand in mine. Glory, 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 glory. And He's been walking with me ever since. And you know, I've been getting to the place, I don't know about you, but I've been getting to the place that I really, really believe that my footsteps are ordered of God. You know, a lot of times we don't understand that. We'll go someplace and we'll say, what are we doing here, God? Or even to a store or even to something. I'll say, God, my footsteps are ordered of You. And every time I do, there's somebody there that needs prayer or just needs love. You know, I'll just walk up and hug them. I was in a store the other day in Fort Wayne and shopping and I noticed this lady was just, one of the sales clerk was being very cordial to everybody, but somebody was just pestering them, you know, over to the side. And I just had to hug her. But I said, you know, can I hug you? And she said, yes. I said, well, good, because I want to hug you. And I just hugged her right there in the store, you know, and it was like, I'm like that. I feel like God sometimes puts us in places that we're not even thinking that He's got us there. You know, we think we're just there. But He's got us there. So I'm really grateful that His hand is always in mine. I want to give you an update. I know Brother Danny asked me beforehand, but my sister Ruthie, a little over a week ago out in Virginia, she went to the hospital and had a very major surgery in her colon. It came through good. They said that'd take more out than they thought. But anyway, turned around and she started getting sick again. And they took her in for a second surgery like 5 days later because toxic poisoning had filled her body and everything. And the prognosis they said was really not good. They said life or death. I didn't know, you know, I couldn't get there in time anyway, so I just kept on my knees praying, right? And I said, God, I'm there with her, you know. But I want you to know that whatever, you know, the enemy means for evil, because you get people praying. Man, I put that on Facebook. I've called people. You got to do that. A lot of people just close up and don't tell anybody. You don't have to tell everything about it. Just say, pray. Just pray. And we need prayer now, you know. And they just prayed. And my sister, her kids were all in because they didn't expect her to live through the surgery. And I want to tell you, she's on her comeback now. She's made it through the surgery. God is so good. They said she'd have to have a colostomy, and she didn't. Isn't that great? I mean, everything they said, I said no. I said no, you know, because I know my God agrees with my words, amen, and with yours. So I'm going to give you a good report on that, because we was giving new testimonies, and I thought, when should I give mine? I got, you know what? God does those things, and you need to testify, because I want to tell you, the enemy don't like our testimonies. He says, hey, we got a big God, honey. We got a good God. So I'm praising God. I got to talk to her last night, just weak as a kitten. But on the mend. She got to eat some soft food last night. She said, I have never been so tickled about them bringing me mashed taters in my life. She said, I'm going to eat some taters. I said, you go, sissy. But you know, God is so good. And, just a little background. The pastor has to share just a little bit, but I've got a word for you today, but I do want to share that Kirk and I've been on the road since 1983 in ministry. Lots of miles, lots and lots and lots of miles. Some of them been air miles. Most some have been just driving miles, you know, and hopefully God has used me to see a lot of people saved and set free and healed. And I married Kirk, and we married in 88. He was, as you can tell, with Southern Gospel groups. He loved Southern. He was in quartets and played the bass. So he traveled ever since he was can remember back into getting out of high school. He went on the road with Southern Gospel groups. How does anybody here like Southern Gospel? When I married the man, I thought, dear God, what have you done to me? I'm from Indiana, man. Give me Sandy Patty. Give me, give me Leon Patillo or Petra or something. I'm just being real with you. And I married Kirk, and all down there, all he do is turn on Southern Gospel and quartet music. I went, ugh. I said, God, I married him. I got to accept this. His family I can accept, but this I don't know about. So I would turn it to mine, and he would turn it back to his, and he would turn, and you know what? Now I am such a Southern Gospel person. I love it. I love it. I got saved. That's bad. But anyway, I love Southern Gospel, and I love when he sings, because it just, there's such an anointing in him. And so he's been on the road, and I have too, and been all over, been on a lot of television programs from 700 Club, TBN, all their subsidiary stations and stuff, and done a lot, and been featured in a lot of magazines. I'm not trying to brag on you now. I'm talking about how God can take a nothing like I was. I used to be a witch for 5.5 years. You know, God can take a nothing. Don't you think God can't save somebody? Don't you think he can't turn them around? Don't you think he can't bless himself through them? Because he can. And a lot of people will not let God use them because they live in all their yesterdays. Honey, you got to get rid of those yesterdays, because God gives us all our tomorrows back. And I've determined to live in my tomorrows. And there's people out there, you know, I'll go in some churches and somebody will come up to me and say, you mean to tell me God saved a witch? Are you still? Yeah, I had a woman come up to the altar one time with her little boys, about 4 years old or so, and he looked at me and he said, and she's going, honey, he wants to ask you something. She says, please don't get mad. I said, baby, I don't get mad. I said, what is it, baby? And he says, is it true that witches can remove warts? I said, I don't have one, do I? You know, because I tell you, I just have fun. You see, I know I'm free from all that. And you know, I was a drug addict, alcoholic, all those bad things the world did to me. All my life, sexually abused, raped, all of it. I want to tell you what, God took that little piece of nothing, just a piece of earth, and he said, I'm going to use her. But the thing of it is, he said he was going to use me at the beginning, at the foundations of the earth. He knew me. He's known me forever. He knew what I was going to go through. And he knew the very hour I was going to submit to him and say, save me, and call out to him. And he didn't turn me away, because he knew I was going to go through all that. He knows everything. But he says, I'm going to find you in the midst of all that sin, and I'm going to pull you and draw you to me. And then I didn't know this. I had no clue about this, or I'd probably told him no. He said, then I'm going to use you. Wow. You know, Kirk sings that song, you know, he's handing us and all the love. My husband loves me so dearly. He loves me so much that it's beautiful. I've never been loved much in my life, period. But when I met him and he loves me so much that whenever we walk through the mall or something, I know there's two fingers he gives me to hold on to. I don't know what it is, but when we hold hands, it's just like that. And we hold, and he never lets go of me, and he doesn't want anything bad happening to me, and he doesn't want to live an hour without me. Even when he goes on mission trips, he's got to have a phone just to call me every day. You know, we just have that kind of love. And I think, God, I look at him and say, why do you love me like this? Why? Because I'm a good cook, okay? No. But he's, you know, I said, why do you love me like this? I'm always trying to find a reason why. Now, not that he loves me. I'm always trying to find the reason why he shouldn't love me. It's just free. He loves me. Love just comes. It just happens. And I think of God. Oh, my goodness, I think of God. I think, like, I'm going to ask him, why did you love me? How could you love me? When did your love start for me? And it's just always been. Isn't that good? I mean, he just wants to hold me and hold you. Honey, I don't know what you're going through today or what you've been through, but God loves you and he wants to use you, and he doesn't care on your past. He don't even live back there in your past. He don't even remember it anymore. He just wants to use you, and he just wants to take you out there and heal you and heal you. He don't want a sick Christian. He wants a healed Christian. And I'm a healed woman of God. And that ticks some people off. That I'm healed. It does, Pastor. They will get mad at you when you say, God's healing me. He's setting me free. He's delivering me. They're going to get mad at you. And they're going to think, who do you think you are? Because for some reason, when God loves someone like that, they think, God should love me more because I'm better than that one. It don't work that way. He loves us. I don't understand it, but praise God, I'm glad we got it, don't you? And so, you know, God, I've been on the road, and God has, I look at people and I see people all over, and I minister all over, and I say, Lord, and anymore, it's like I want a word from God so bad for the church, for the body. And I just pray for it. And I just grieve over it. And I'll say, God, I want a word from you. And this past June, I was invited out. We were out in Omaha area ministering at churches in Omaha, Nebraska. And a man called that was a president of an organization, a worldwide organization, and we don't belong to it, but he said, listen, I know you guys are out here. And he said, the woman, we want in our fellowship them to know we have women ministers, and she became ill and can't come. He said, would you please speak in her place? I said, well, I'm honored to accept that. We'll be in the area. We looked up our calendar. We didn't have anything that day. I said, I'd be honored to come out and speak at your conference. So I had 2 weeks, and I said, do you have a theme, brother, for this? Because, you know, if there's a conference and they have a theme, you want to fit in it. That's just the way it is. And he said, no. And then he said, well, yeah, kind of. He said, the churches are all Pentecostal, but he says they've lost their fire. A lot of them doesn't know how to let the Holy Spirit move. And he said, so we're preaching out of Joel, you know, the former and the latter rain and all this. And I said, oh, that's nothing to me. I can do that. I said, yeah, I'd be glad to speak. Well, for 2 weeks, I read Joel twice. I prayed, got nothing. I'm telling you, got nothing. And I've been praying for over 2 years for Texas to open up really big for us. And we've been out there some, but I really want to go to Texas. And I found out all the other speakers and the ministers were from Texas. So I really want a good word. I want to go and strut and say, hey, God, you know, something. No, I don't do that. But anyway, I wanted them to notice that I could preach. And being a woman then, I want to know that a woman can preach. And God gave me nothing. I tell you what, I read Acts 2. I did everything I knew. I begged God. I was up till 2:30 in the morning the night before I was supposed to speak, begging God, give me a word, give me a word. God, you know, they got PhDs and DBSs and ABCs and all that behind their names. Please, God, got nothing. Two words was all I got. I went in that morning and I looked at him after they introduced me, and I thanked the pastors and everybody, the president of that organization, et cetera, et cetera, did all the things. And then I looked at him, I said, I want to tell you, if I'd have had anything from Joel the first night, that man of God took it all away. But, you know, so I'm sitting there and I said, so I want to tell you what I got for you. I said, I got nothing. You don't stand in front of a conference. I said, I got nothing. And I said, I thought, I'm not going to be embarrassed anymore. I'm just going to tell them like it is, and it's up to God. But I said, God did say in Psalms, if I would open my mouth, he would fill it. So let's see what God has to say today through this mouth. I said, he only gave me two words for you. And it's this, and I'm not preaching this day, but I'm just giving you an illustration of what had happened. He gave me two words for the body of Christ, and it was this. Do you want to continue being a monument, or do you want to be a movement? God says, I'm not going to move through the monuments anymore. He says, they're getting away from me, he says. He said, people want to go to a certain church, it's their monument. They want a certain preacher because that's their monument. They want a certain singer because it's their monument. And they've forgotten that they want a move of God is what their desires should be. I said, so what do you want? And then I started going through illustrations of the movement of God that had happened in my life and things that had happened to me that was so strange I couldn't even understand of myself. At that time that God had me walk out of my parents' house at 13 years old at night, and I walked down the stairway and walked out, and they had one of those big yellow Fissophila trees. You know what I'm talking about. Those bushes that's yellow and go like this. I can't say that word for the life of me. But anyway, I bet you can't even think of it, can you? See, so it don't matter. It's Fissophila. That's what it is. That's tongues for it, brother. Anyway. So I walked down the steps and I walked out the front door, and I even seen my parents, my stepfather and my mother asleep in their bed. I walked out the front door. I went out, and up by this tree, there was Jesus walking around this tree, and at his feet was the earth, and there was the moon going around the earth, and a brightness was in Jesus, and he bid me come and walk with him. So I went over and I walked with Jesus around that bush, and he spoke to me in this language and spoke all the time, just talking to me. And the next thing I knew is that some of my stepbrother was at the foot of my bed screaming, Jen, get up. And I jumped up and I did what every teenager does. I said, get out of my room, you know. And he says, well, your mother's been calling you for about 25 minutes. And I wake up really easy and says, you won't answer. She thought maybe you was dead or something. So so he went out and I started to get up. And I'm going to tell you, this is embarrassing what I'm about to tell you. But I said, all of my excrements from my body was all over me and my bed. I'd been laying in it all night long. Did I leave my body? I don't know. Did I die? I don't know. But I went down, I told my mother, and I was crying, and I was so embarrassed. And I told her, and I said, Mom, and Jesus talked, and I went out there and talked to him. My mother thought I was nuts. And I said, and Mama, he told me stuff. I said, but I don't understand it because he spoke in Yiddish. And my mama said, honey, I don't even think there is such a language as Yiddish. And she said, Jesus would have spoken Hebrew or Greek to you. And I said, I know, Mom, but he said Yiddish, he told me. And do you know, just several years ago, a few years ago, I was watching television on one of those things talking about Jesus, and he spoke Yiddish. It is a language. Glory to God. But I can't tell you what he spoke. But the point is this. Do we really want that kind of move of God? Do we want a move of God where people slide down and laugh and roll? I'm sure you've done that here. Do we want, but those people, and I said, do you really want to be a movement of God? Do you really want to go in a store? Like this one pastor was telling me one day, he was at Cracker Barrel, and he said, somebody needed prayer, and he started to pray for him. And he said, they went out in the spirit. You know, he didn't know him. And so he said, one other time he was at Golden Corral, and he said, somebody came up sick and wanted prayer, and said, heard he was a pastor. He prayed for him right down, right there. They went out in the spirit. They got healed. Somebody else came. Well, brother pastor, would you pray for me? And said, they finally put him in one of those back rooms and say, can I put you back here in this room? People went back there. Honey, I believe in that kind of move of God. I'm hungry for that kind of move of God. I'm telling you, are we going to be a monster? monument where people look at me. I don't want a monument ministry. I don't want somebody say, I'm coming to see Janelle. I want them to say, I'm coming to get a word from God. I want to know what God is speaking to the body of believers today. I want to know, maybe he's got a word for me through that person or through the pastor or through someone else. I'm telling you, we got to get to the place that we're hungry for a move of God and that we want to be a part of it. I get jealous that you're not in the midst of it. I'm telling you, I used to go everywhere every night, every day that there was a meeting going on because I didn't want somebody to get something I didn't get. I didn't want somebody to come and tell me about it. I wanted to say I was there. That's what God's saying we got to get like. We got to be want to be there, be a part of it, and be the reason for it sometimes. Amen. So do we want to be that? God wants to give visions and dreams. He wants to do us. He hasn't changed since the disciples. He hasn't changed since the book of Acts. He hasn't changed since the Old Testament. God has never changed. It's man that's changed. We've chased him out of the sanctuary. I didn't mean to say that, but it came out of my mouth. So at any rate, you know, I'm here with the word from God. I told Pastor before church, I tell you, I'm fighting for this because when God started spoken to me just the first, and I told him a couple things, just one thing that God said to me. I want to tell you something. I said, God, it scares me. It terrifies me. I don't know about you, man of God, or you, I know you walk prophetically. About when God gives you something and he speaks it to you, it better be God. And I told God, I said, God, I got to know this is you. Is this you? Is it this easy? He said, my sheep know my voice and no other voice will they listen to. He said, make it easy to hear my voice. That's what God spoke to me because I said, God, if it's not of you, I know that there's terror involved in not listening to God or hearing from God or saying it's God and it's not God. So, but I'm telling you, God gave this to me for you, for all of us, for the body of Christ. And I'm going to try to share it if I can today. Somebody say amen. Amen. And if God takes us somewhere else, we'll go somewhere else. But here's some scripture for it. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's go to verse 2. Now this is the charge for ministry. They use this for ministry. It's the charge for ministry, but how many know all of you are ministers? Yeah. Hello. Because we've all got a call in our life to be evangelists. Well, let's go to first one. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Now this is the key. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will keep up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Listen to me. I'm not going to knock churches. I don't need to do that, but I will knock this. There is a big move in the body of Christ to be seeker friendly. Now I believe in being seeker friendly. I believe in you going out there and getting people saved and evangelism. But I want to tell you what we got to watch out in the body of Christ. It's the season of the year that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. He wasn't born in this month, but it's what we've set aside to celebrate. There's nothing wrong with that. Let me tell you something. Are you celebrating a Savior, a Redeemer, or are you celebrating a scapegoat? Come on. If you don't know what a scapegoat is, in Leviticus it talks about it, where the priest would get in this goat, and they would put the sins of the people on that goat. They pray over and sprinkle with blood and put all the sins of the people. Then they found the best godly man they had in the crowd, and he would lead it out into the desert, out into the places where it could never come back. And that meant it took the sins of the people away, and they could never return. The sins couldn't. And I'm afraid today a lot of Christians want a scapegoat. They want a Jesus that came to take it all away so they don't have to do nothing. A Savior will change you. A Savior will transform you. A Savior will make you not want to sin anymore. You say, but I still have desires. We all do. We fight them. The thing is you don't give in to those desires. You fight them. And you fight them sometimes every day. And sometimes you fight them every moment. And sometimes you fight them in your sleep. And sometimes you fight them just being near other people. You fight desires. Those things will happen. It's natural. It's normal. But God will give you grace and strength and power to overcome them as you go. But a scapegoat theory is that Jesus paid it all so I can keep doing what I did while I was in sin, and I'm still on my way to heaven because of Jesus. And when I see God, I will say, he'll say, well, look at all these things in these books. Revelation says there's going to be books. It's not the book of life. It says books of our account of what we've done on earth. And he said, but look at these books. They're full of sin. They're full of trash. They're full of junk. And they said, well, where's my scapegoat? He paid it all. Honey, don't buy into that in the churches today, that you can still sin. When I got saved, there was desire to do it, but there was more desire to serve Him who saved me from it. And that's something we're not hearing today. We're not hearing hell is big and it's enlarging itself, and that's the Word of God. You can't believe one little word and not all the Word of God. It's impossible. We don't hear anybody talking about hell today. And you know, you go preach the funeral to the meanest, low down snake in the world, and you preach them right into heaven because that's what people want to hear. Yeah. But it's a lie, and we got to stop lying. I mean, we don't have to say they're going in hell, probably burning and hurt everybody, but we can't preach people into hell because we want them to go there. Or we can't preach them into heaven because we want them to go there. Either place. You can't do it. It's up to the individual where they're going, and it's their salvation experience with Jesus Christ on what will determine eternity. I have a situation I'm dealing with a man, and his son is now in a homosexual lifestyle, and the man I'm dealing with has always believed that's wrong, and that, not that he loves everybody, but he thinks that he was always believing that was wrong, that lifestyle was sin. It was wrong until his son got there. But when his son got there, all of a sudden, he's trying to rewrite the book. Honey, it doesn't matter. That's just like in the thing going on out in Missouri right now. That boy was in sin. That boy was lawless. That boy was doing something he shouldn't have done. He didn't listen to the law that said stop. He didn't listen to it. And that's the way we are as Christians. Sometimes we don't listen to God, and the Word of God says stop. You're going to get in trouble. Stop. And then after we get in trouble, we try to blame everybody else for causing it. It's got to stop there, honey, because God's wanting to do something powerful, and He's looking for those that are serving Him in spirit and in truth. He's looking for you, and I want to be found by Him, don't you? So this is the Word of God that God gave to me. He said, first off, God's told me, He says, people, He says, it says in the prayer, it says, thy kingdom come. In the greatest prayer in the Bible was that prayer. Thy kingdom come, our Father who art in heaven. Thy kingdom come. And God's saying, do you really want to be a kingdom person? Do you really want to be a kingdom person? We got to get to a kingdom mentality. You know, it's not there today in a lot of them. Yeah, I'm just telling you. It says in Romans 14:17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. In other words, fellowship is real good and we must have it. We need it. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I'm telling people, say, how do you have peace? I say, Holy Ghost. How do you have joy? Holy Ghost. How do you stay right standing with God? The Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost will convict your old spirit. I'll tell you that. But here's the, I mean, he'll tear me up. He's torn me up. But we got to seek that first. I seek God to tear me up if I need it. I seek God to cause me to repent if I need it. When somebody gets mad at me or says something to me, I don't look. I say, God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing first. And secondly, I say, God, is it true? Is it true? Is there any truth in this? Let me change if there is. I'm not going to blame everybody for everything because God says I'm to come to Him and seek Him first. And it could be some things I need to change. Somebody say amen or owie, it don't matter to me. But here's what God's saying for this church, for the church. And when God gives me a word for the church, I give it to the churches that I go to because God gives it. But this is what God's told me. He said to tell you that breakthrough is over. Isn't that something? He said breakout is here. That's the difference. So I did a study on this. Breakthrough means this. Now this is where it's at. We're right at the end of breakthrough. The whole body of Christ is. Some are already reaching there and getting there before you, but I'm headed that way. I believe mine's here. Breakthrough is a sudden, dramatic, and important discovery, improvement, advance, development, step forward, success. I like that. Breakthrough. It means a military movement or advance all the way through and beyond on enemies. Frontline defense. Wow, I love that. Wow. It means an act or instance of removing or surpassing an obstruction or restriction. The overcoming of a state stalemate. Has anybody been feeling that you're in a stalemate or the heavens are brass? Or God, why aren't you doing what you said you was going to do? God, what all these promises I got stacked up and I haven't seen yet? Is anybody, I've been there. I'll be honest with you. I've been there. And he says, it's about to change, kids. It's about to quit. You know, in Ephesians, where it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but about principalities and powers and high places. And God says to tell you, we have been warring against something we can't see. And don't think it hasn't been warring against us. We've been looking at each other long enough saying, it's Sam, it's Sam, it's Sam. It's not. It's the enemy. And the enemy will use that which is closest to us in a person even to try to get us to fail or to sin or to forget God. And God says to tell us it's we're warring against something that is unseen to our mortal eyes. But it's definitely there. But God said His people who are called by His name have been warring in that heavenly kingdom. We've been punching. We've been fighting. We've been saying, get out of the way. Leave my children alone. Get out of my family. Get out of my finances. In Jesus' name, I'm healed. Honey, I just got a bad report. I tell you, I went to the doctor. They took blood from me. They just checked on me. I ended up having to have not a CT, one of those other things, MRIs and everything. And then they did another thing on me, you know, with the fun look at it. I don't know what it's called. Anyway, they did all this stuff to my body. And you know, the blood work I had, it came back first and everything. Cholesterol, Danny, I don't have cholesterol. Man, wonderful. I don't have those electrolytes problems. I don't have none. My blood was perfect. The devil's telling me my kidney, I've got one kidney, been hurting me. It's going bad. My kidney and the blood the test they took is perfectly good. Everything's good. I'm just perfect inside. Glory. And then they said, but we took the CT scan of your stomach because there was and they said you got a spot on your liver. I said I got a spot on my liver. Yeah, and we're hopeful. We think it could be just a cyst or something. I said that's all. It's going to go. So I started saying going away. You know, the enemy comes in anyway, and he's got his little buddy fear with him, and you got to fight that thing. And I fought it. I would not listen to it. I said, I'm healed in Jesus' name. See, I had to go to war. It's something I couldn't see. I couldn't see it. And the report got back. He said, it's just a cyst. And the older you get, they said, some people get cysts on their liver. It's no problem. I said, well, I'm still 39, so I'm not getting older. But what I'm saying I was fighting something I couldn't see. I was fighting something I couldn't see. It was words they gave me. I fought their word curses. I fought their words. I said, no, in Jesus' name, the only word I live by is the word in the Bible. You say, you don't believe in doctors? Yeah, I do. And if God don't heal my foot in January, I probably have to have something done with it. But I want to tell you something. First, I go to God. First, I go to Him. And I'll do whatever He tells me to do with doctors or whatever. But I know one thing. I'm healed in Jesus' name because His word says it. And there's enemies out there. So you go through the Word of God. Some sicknesses is demonic. Yes. It's a word. Some is illness, but some is demonic. So you better fight when you start getting sick at something you can't see, because don't accept it, because it may be the devil. Hey. And so I'm telling you, God says we've been fighting it and we've been getting victorious. How many feel stronger today than you did 10 years ago in the faith? And you know that devil's got to let go, you know? Well, we've done that. Now we've got breakthrough. And I just read all that. But now breakout means this. An escape, often with the use of force. We're about to escape all these things, children. It means an appearance or manifestation. That's what breakout means. Glory to God. It says, an instance of surpassing any previous achievement. Whatever we've achieved, what we're about getting ready for is greater than anything we've ever seen so far. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the adjective to that breakout is this. Of or constituting a sudden increase, advance, or unexpected success. Well, glory. Well, glory. I say, well, glory. I said, God, thank you for breakout. It's like when they're in prison, you know, somebody in prison, they break out of that thing. What's waiting for them when they get out there? Honey, what's waiting for them when they break out, which they shouldn't do, but I'm using this illustration. It's total freedom. They haven't felt it for years, and they're standing out there saying, now what do I do? And then they know they got to run from the law. But I'm saying, they say, what do we do? And they just want to do everything because they've been confined. I want to tell you, we're going to be so excited because we're going to want to do everything. You mean, God, I can raise the dead? Ho, 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 ho. Oh, that's better than Santa. Hallelujah. You mean, God, I can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover? I don't even have to go get pastor to do it. They can do it when glory to God. I mean, the breakout is going to be when we realize we're walking in it. We are it. We're walking around. I say, here comes the healer. And they say, well, you just look like Janelle. I say, yeah, well, you're looking at the natural. There's something supernatural you can't see in me. And it's a healer. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He's somebody make you feel better inside of me. And we begin to reverse the flesh and turn our flesh inside out and let the spirit come forth and let the flesh be subdued. We're going to see some great and mighty works of God. I'm giving you something today that God gave me. So I want to tell you, we have fought the good fight of faith. And for those who's kept the course, I'm telling you, we're about to at the end of a new beginning. Hallelujah. Anybody hear what I just said? We're at the end of a new beginning here. So God is about to move. So I see the warfare in the heavenlies while everyone else keeps looking at the natural war zones. I wrote that last night. We keep looking. I tell you, get on Fox News, you get on these things, and I tell you, they'll keep your mind on the evil and the wickedness of this world. After it's long past due, they still try to keep it alive on CNN. And you know, some of these people are trying to keep that thing in Missouri alive and don't even realize it's because it's a smoke screen to hide something else. So I keep talking about it and talking about it and talking about it. And you know, it's time we realize the natural war zone is nothing compared to what the heavenlies have. And we are victorious. I look at that devil. I'll tell you, when I had, after I got saved, Mary Kirkway, we had a high priest come that was sent to us by Minnith Meyer Clinic. They're like a Dobson clinic. And they sent this guy to us, and he is a big old boy, and he was mean and evil in his eyes could change colors, and he was just really, really bad. I didn't like him, neither did Kirk. But you want to know something? I looked around him and I thought, there is no way this thing's going to win. And he told me something, and it wasn't a secret. He looked at me, he says, boy, I'm glad you're not in witchcraft anymore. And I said, why? He says, because I look in your eyes, and he said, you'd have been greater than me. You would have been meaner than me. And I looked at him, I said, baby, I am greater than you, and I am meaner than you right now. And I said, that's what you see. He dropped his head. He says, that's what I meant. You say, are you mad? Are you afraid of the devil? I'm not. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of demons. I'm not afraid of devils. Why? Because greater is the one that's in me, and I allow him to live. I allow him to live in me. I allow him to come forth in me. I didn't get saved and say, shut up, Jesus. I said, Jesus, it's all yours. Do and say whatever you want. Just use me. Move through me. It's your body. I'll just carry you around. I'm tired of carrying Janelle. I'll just carry you. And I decided Jesus is a lot easier to carry than Janelle is. So I gave me a 10. So I don't look around at the warfare here on earth. It's that, you know, the enemy wants us to look around instead of looking up. And we've got, I've done it. I'm being honest. I've gotten here going, oh God, look at Israel. Oh God, look at the world. Look at all the things that's going, oh, look at Iraq, Iran. You know, look at this Afghanistan. Oh God, look at America. Oh God, you know, and your heart's just heavy and you're downtrodden. You can't do that. There's principalities doing things right now. And God's allowing them. Do you hear me? I said, God's still in charge. He's allowing them because he said, they are fulfilling my word. Yeah. The enemy is fulfilling God's word, not the enemy's word. Yeah. Well, glory to God. He's defeated while he thinks he's winning. But victory, God said, in the unseen realm is the real victory. And we've been looking at this realm, even our children. Listen, I've got a lot of things in my family that would knock you out too for me. You'd be on your knees. You'd be hurting for me if I told you, just like you do, because we're all human. But I want to tell you what, they don't knock me down. You can ask my husband. I stand there and say, it's just a season. It'll go bye-bye one day. Because why? Their breakout's coming too. Glory to God. Their breakout is on the way. Then, you know, listen, God says, imagine being set free. Can't even imagine it. Now, I'm telling you, when I had demons in this mortal flesh of mine, when I had demons, there was like seven, I think, in me, they said, that they were bad. Can you imagine when they got done and they grabbed me because I was going nuts? Happy nuts. That was good nuts. At any rate, they grabbed me and they said, take her home. Put her in bed. She won't be right for days. She had a hypo from heaven. I never did get right. That hypo still goes on. Why? Because I was set free. See, some people get saved. They don't get set free. And when you don't get set free, you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, when you set free, you can't help but smile. You can't help but be happy. You can't help but dance. You can't help but if the Lord wants to get you drunk in the spirit, you go, I'm a hiccupper. Go ahead, God, do whatever you want with me. But the church don't want that because they got to be the monument. I got to be this, you know. And it's like, do you really want a move of God? He may do some silly things with you. You get out of order, they say, well, there's... People get out of order with it and everything. They do. You should have a man and woman of God here that'll say, you're out of order. Now sit down. And they don't have to be mean to you. They just got to sit you down and talk to you and say, honey, that was a little too much. There was a little too much flesh in that. I'm serious. That's like the gifts. We stop all the gifts instead of stopping the people. We hurt the Holy Spirit and say, because I don't want to hurt the flesh. You know, we got a bunch of flesh churches. They minister to the flesh. Come on, instead of the spirit that lives in the flesh. And we got to start having a spirit church, not a flesh one. I just read you where it said those nasty words. Was it rebuke? Exhort? Because you know what? I've been corrected. I can remember one of the first times, well, I was corrected about a lot, but I remember when a pastor told me the first time I ever preached, I said, I was talking about the book of Revelation, but I said, Revelations. And she was a student and she was a teacher. She was like a college professor. And afterwards she said, she did a pretty good job, honey. But she says, don't say Revelations. I said, why? She says, it's Revelation. And she says, those that scholarly people out there will think, no, you're not scholarly if you say Revelations. So I started practicing Revelation, Revelation, Revelation. I still can't say flesh, right? And I can't say special, right, they say. But I still work on that. I do say wash now because my family raised me with wash. Is it wash? Thank you, Jesus. I'm at home here. Wash. you wash those clothes, honey. You don't wash them. But I've been working on words, you know. I really have. Because if it means something to people, I'll try it, you know. But I failed miserably. Kirk laughs at me all the time. Everybody laughs at me. They really laugh when I say I'm 39, but that's okay. They'll get to Revelation. Now, what I'm talking about, the breakout, it's, listen, God says, I wrote this down so I don't forget. He says, it will not change the direction of the world and its governments. No, he said, but God's purpose and plans are going to come to pass. And then, you know, my husband last night, I was writing this down as fast as I could. I know that don't mean anything to you maybe, but it meant a lot to me. He said, come to pass. And it was like, now! Wow. It isn't tomorrow, it's now! And I went, oh. And he says, make me a now God. He says, stop looking for it. If you know that you've broken out, if you know the breakthrough's complete, he says, start looking for now. Now, right now, God. And you say, what if I don't see it? Still believe it now. And I'm telling you, God's doing some things. Amen. He's doing them now. He's not doing them tomorrow. He's doing them now. We got a big God. We got a great big God. Yeah. Seek His kingdom with all your heart. I gave you what He told me to give you. And I'm telling you right now, another thing God spoke to my heart this morning. Pastor told me sometime we was visiting Wecker. He was talking to me about Billy Sunday being in Rochester. And some of the other people, my grandmother got saved under Billy Sunday's ministry, you know. But I thought, God says, man, shut that down. Oh, brother, don't that hurt? Man ended up shutting that down. But God said, I called it to be that revival. And he said, will you be the ones that will bring it back to life? Will you be the ones? He didn't say any other church in this area. He said, will you be the ones? He brought you here. He brought you here. I know it hurt to give up the other church down the road, but God brought you here. God's brought every one of you here, and he says, will you let me do what I had in progress and man shut down? Because I'm to tell you, when God gives a vision, that vision don't die. It may go on hold, or it may only hold about 3 or 4 or 10 people, but I want to tell you something. It'll come back to life if somebody will call it back to life, and somebody allow it to come back to life, and somebody say, it was great back then, but greater things are here now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're it. You're it. You know why you're it? Because you'll pray all night. Thanksgiving night. I mean Thanksgiving. New Year's Eve. I'm cooking all night Thanksgiving. Okay, I forgot this. Because people won't even do that anymore, Pastor. Churches don't do that. They'll have a party. And I'm not against party. But I was raised where you got on your knees, even though I turned a bad sinner. I was raised you got on your knees. I remember as a little kid praying and thinking, Jesus, are you going to come before the new year? That's what I'd think. Oh, Jesus, are you coming? I'd be scared. I'd be, oh, Jesus. And I mean, I loved it when it got to be 1 minute after 12. I loved it. Another year! Yoo-hoo! I got another year! But you're doing the right thing. You're praying. Praying and praising is where the move is going to be found. Why? Because again, I go back to what I said. He said that he wants those. He's looking for those who will walk to him in spirit and in truth. Both. The worshipers. He said, they're my worshipers. He calls them worshipers. He calls them my true worshipers. That will worship me in spirit and in truth. And I feel like God's got you in a position for a great outpouring and breakthrough, influx. I believe you're on the verge of seeing something now. Glory to God. And that's what God told me to come and tell you. So I've been obedient. And the enemy said I didn't have nothing. I said, well, I don't. But God does. But God. we'll let God, you know, so many times it's great to preach right out of the word and teach. We got to have it. We got to have it. Sometimes it's just good to just hear a word from God too. Hallelujah. So God, I've come and I've delivered your word, not mine. And God, I didn't try to make myself a monument. I just wanted to be a movement to come and tell these people your plans for their future. Because the plans for their future is your plans for your future. So God, when heaven meets earth, something's going to explode. So God, we release right now an explosion from this place in that pastor. We release it right now in Rochester, surrounding communities all over Indiana. Let it start here, God. God, we know that Billy Sundays and those people had a great thing, but we don't look at those. We look at what you are doing, because your plan did not die, because there's no time in heaven. So God, it's only been a little... And now it's starting again. So God, we ask you for the explosion to come and souls to start coming. Let the fire just go forth now, that they will come. They'll know there's help in the house. They'll know that somebody in here is praying. They'll know if I can just get to one of those people that I know they got to answer for me. I know they will help me. I know they'll be long suffering. I know they will be full of understanding, and I know they will not judge me. They will clean me up and pick me up and restore me. And I say the powers that have been in the heavenlies around this area, I say breakthrough has come, and we have broken through to God. We have broken out of your kingdom into the kingdom of God. We are in breakout into the heavenlies now, above where your kingdom is, Satan. And we give you warning. Warriors have won the battle over you. They have won it. And now God is going to restore his kingdom. Thank you, God. We speak it, God, as words of power and of you. As if I stand in the midst of heaven speaking your word, Father. I speak it out of this church and into this body. In Jesus' name. And God, we thank you. We thank you for what you're going to do. We praise you. Somebody give God some glory. Give him some glory. Oh, come on. See your children saved. See them delivered. See your grandchildren delivered. See it as if it's already happened. I dare you. I dare you. Hallelujah. 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 My children are born again. They may not know it, but I know it. My children are filled with the Holy Ghost. They may not feel it, but I know it. I know my children because why? God's promised me, and he is a God that will not lie. But I don't fight for him anymore. And I don't pray for him. I praise for him. I praise for him. I praise for him. Because I know my God's greater than my worry. He's greater than their sin. See, those children have kept us down, haven't they? They broke our hearts. They've got us walking in so much fear we can't even see God. But I just told you today, you've broken through. Believe it. Believe it. Believe my, our sister that spoke today about her children, believe it. Was it you, honey? Believe it. Believe it. You saw a little glimpse of the breakout. You just saw a little bit. And the devil say, well, that was just a little bit. Say, yeah, but more's coming. More, that's ripped. It's ripped. Their spirit realm around them is ripped. It's got a tear in it now. And it just takes a little place for God to start punching right on through. So praise God. Somebody say praise God. You stand up with me. You've been sitting a while. Hallelujah.